Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Monday, August the 6th. NASCAR was in action this weekend at two different racetracks, the Truck Series and the Nation, and the Cup Series were at Pocono International Raceway, and the Truck Series was, and the Nationwide Series is out in at the Iowa Speedway. And our ace reporter and website editor, Tammy Allman, was up covering the festivities there. And Tammy, it looked like a messy weekend all weekend. First, let's give a moment to the Zimmerman family, who suffered a loss during the lightning strike yesterday at Pocono Raceway. There were 10 people. It was two strikes, Tammy, struck by lightning. Two were in critical, but one passed away, I guess, upon arrival at the medical center. And the other one who was critical was upgraded to stable condition, we found out today. Tammy, what happened out there yesterday?
It was pretty wicked. We had the first storm right before the first attempt of driver introductions hit. It hit hard enough that it left some pretty severe puddles and everything like that, and it took quite some time to dry the track. They do have a new drainage system in place, so that helped a little bit to cut the drying time down, but they used 10 jet dryers to try and get it dried. They made the second attempt to run the race. They were saying between 3 and 3:30, which we did get back on track. We were watching the weather, and we knew there was another really, really severe storm cell coming our way. And it was quite eerie watching it come in and everything like that, too. It was really bad weather up there. And unfortunately, the NASCAR officials and the track didn't call the race soon enough to, I would say, give the fans the chance to get to their cars to try and take cover with a storm of that size that was coming towards us. I wish they would have had a little more time. And, you know, like everybody's saying, too, people wear earphones and earplugs and things like that when they're at the track, so you can't always hear the track announcements, which is a shame. Even though you could see the clouds and everything coming in, there really wasn't enough warning to know how severe the storm was going to be. You know, those of us who had the computers and the smartphones and everything, we were watching it as it was coming across. But we were hit with a storm about 4:43. It was right around when they threw the red flag, and everybody was told to take cover. And right around 5 o'clock, while Jeff Gordon was in victory lane, the first lightning strike happened right behind the grandstands. Unfortunately, there were 9 people affected by that one strike, and Mr. Zimmerman was in that one. And he did. He was declared dead on arrival, unfortunately, at the hospital when they got there. He did not make it with the injuries and everything that he suffered. There were 4 other people that were transported to the hospital, and 5 that were treated and released at the track. There was 1 person that was also struck by lightning in a separate incident at a different area of the track as well. This storm was pretty intense. I know it has tracks looking at their policies now for weather and reevaluating if it's giving the fans enough time to be able to take shelter. The one thing I could tell the fans is when you see weather like that coming towards you and you are an event, doesn't matter what type of event, please listen to everybody when they're telling you to go to your cars to take shelter. Do what you're being told to do. They're doing that to protect you. And, you know, and unfortunately, if you ever go to a track or anything like that, you know how far away sometimes your car could be parked, and it could be a haul to get there. You know, so our condolences go out to the family of Mr. Zimmerman. He does leave behind 3 children and a wife. And as soon as we have the information, I know Pocono's working on setting up a fund and everything for not only the family, but all those affected by the lightning and the storm yesterday.
And we'll have that posted on GarageTalkLive.com and Facebook/GarageTalkLive, our page there, so everybody can go to there and link up and make donations and try to help the family out. I'll tell you, Tammy, I was watching it, and you know, I put on the TV, and it was like, looks like it's raining there. And it was about, you know, almost about 10 to 1, because the coverage, I figure, by the time they drop the green, it's about quarter after the schedule.
Right. They did even push up the start time, knowing the weather was in the area. They wanted to try and start it earlier, and unfortunately that didn't work.
Yeah, and that's usually what they try to do, but there was wet out there, and I could see it. I know you planned on riding your bike up Friday and Saturday.
Yep, and knowing the weather that was in the area, I took it home Saturday, came down, covered Grandview, and headed back up there Saturday night right after Grandview, so it was a pretty long weekend for me.
Well, I can imagine. You got the Glen this weekend too, right?
It's still up in the air. What's going on with that? It might get changed to a different track at a different week. I'm not sure what's going on yet. Right now, I'm just waiting moment by moment to see where I'm going to be. I do have tomorrow night I'll be at Reading, at the Reading Fairgrounds racing that they have going on at the Reading Fair. I'll be up there tomorrow night meeting with some drivers and meeting with the fans. They have something set up for me to come up tomorrow night and be a guest, so I'm looking forward to that. So if you're in our area, it's come out to the Reading Fair. They're going to have racing going on there, and I'll be there at the track tomorrow night after 7 o'clock.
All right, and you get checked out. You'll be signing autographs and handing out zero cards?
Oh, of course. You know me. No, I'll be there. I'll be posing for pictures. I don't have hero cards. I have our Garage Talk Live magnets and things like that. So, and all, of course, my camera's going to be on me, so I'll probably be too busy taking pictures to have any pictures of myself. You know, I'm hiding behind the lens. I don't let anybody take pictures of me. Well, except for Bob Yurko. Bob Yurko did get one of me, so, you know.
I saw that. But and also in action last night, this weekend, the NHRA was finishing up their Western Swing in Seattle, and it turned out to be a good day for the ladies. Erica Enders winning her second pro stock event, and Courtney Force breaks through. Her third trip to the final round of elimination was a charm as she wound up beating the defending champ Matt Hagen with a 4.238 to Matt's 4.328. So she smoked him. She had no easy rounds either. She had Cruz Pedregon, who was like the number two qualifier in the first round. She smoked him. He smoked the tires a little bit coming off the line, but she had a clean run. And then she went up against a 15-time funny car champ, her dad, John Force, and beat him pretty good. And then Bob Tasca she beat Pedregon, then Bob Tasca, and then she beat her dad, and then she wound up against Hagen, and she had a clean run every time, and it was her 15th racing event. So it's 15th event she's competed in that she wound up taking home her first Wally. And Steve Torrance in the top fuel division beat Sean Langdon with a 4.168 to 4.329 in the final there. So you had a whole bunch of young guns up there, and the ladies, they didn't have the pro stock motorcycles yesterday, Tammy, which surprised me. It was just the nitro burners and the pro stock cars, and out of the three events, the ladies took home the Wally in both. Of course, there wasn't any lady competitors in the top fuel event. I guess Hillary Will didn't go to the race or make the field, so that was the only division where a dude won. So congrats to our guest, a former guest, Courtney Force. I was hoping to get her tonight, Tammy, but as soon as I knew, you know how they tape delay the event, so I left my phone. I didn't touch my phone or my computer because I wanted to see how it went, and as soon as she won, I put the word out to try to get her, but they were traveling today, so we hope to have Courtney on next week. Hey, it's twice she's been on the show, and she's been to the finals three times.
There you go. She's just got to keep coming on.
Babe. And remember a couple of years ago when her dad came on pretty regular, he won the championship. Races during that year. So, and then the year before that, it was Rob Height.
So that's a note to everybody: when they come on our show, the more often you come on, the better you're going to be doing. So the better your odds are of winning a championship. So, yeah, we're going to put that out there.
Well, I wouldn't, because every time I mention that to them, they have a bad day. So.
Well, I don't know. Every time we've had them on, so most of the time everybody has a good day afterwards. So.
Yep, that's for sure. And, of course, we have an interview with Sam Hornish I did this past Tuesday, and after running at Indy in, I said three events, three different divisions, but he corrected me, and it was five different divisions, but two of them were on the road course. But to me, they don't count. That's not actual Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the vaunted, four-sided, 2.5-mile rectangle that everybody comes to know and love. But, he has won the Indy 500 and the IndyCar Championship, of course, in the year he called the show. So we'll have that with him. Driver of the number 5 Ford F-150, Paulie Haraka, will be calling in at 9. He was going to call in. We had him scheduled for 8, but he had something come up, so he's going to call in. He was running real good until he wrecked late in the race. He was in the top 10 most of the afternoon. Of course, it was only a 50-lapper. But he's been on the show before when he used to drive for McAnally Racing out west in the K&N Pro West Series. Back then it was the Camping World Pro West Series. But now it's K&N. So we got some good guests coming up. And, well, Tammy, you got any, what's the results? We might as well knock the Grandview out of the way before we get to our guests. And anybody wants to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. So we'll take your calls as well. And how did the weekend go at Grandview? Get everything in, or the rain play havoc down there too?
They were good for rain. It was getting to the track that I got a little wet coming down. I had a quick leave Pocono. Like I said, I was doing the Mad Dash this weekend. I was up Friday covering all the action and everything like that and the practice times and all that kind of stuff. Went over for a little bit Saturday to see the qualifying. Had to jump on the bike, get back down in time for Grandview because it's about two and a half hour ride for me to get back down here. So that I could be up at Grandview on time for everything that goes on up there. So I was talking about running a different end of the state here. But I did. I made it down to Grandview. The weather actually was extremely hot and humid down here compared to up there where it was raining. Kind of chilly while it was raining and cooled off and everything. By the time I got back up there, it felt wonderful. But we had a veteran win Saturday night. It's been a while since he won, too. And it was really, really good to see. Ray Swinehart found his way to victory late on Saturday evening in the modified class. Like I said, it has been a while. I think they said it was since 2009 since he last won. So he was the winner of the WMPV 1440 AM radio NASCAR 358 modified feature. He had to hold off challenges from Todd Smith, Mimi DeSantis, Craig Von Doren, Brad Missimer, Dwayne Howard, Doug Manmiller, Mike Uhler, Dan, I'm going to butcher this one, Wassam Potcher, and Jeff Strunk. They were your top 10 in that class that night. It was a really good racing action. It went green. It was pretty good, actually, for the longest time. Kind of a surprise to see him back in the victory lane, but it's a really good thing as well. Like I said, he is a veteran up there. He's been doing this for quite some time. And I think he's just getting ready for this weekend, which is going to be a big race, but we'll talk about that in a minute. In our NASCAR late models, we had our own Pottstown native Chuck Schutz. He came home with the win. John Kiesler had the early lead. He fell back through the pack, but he was leading for a while. Bill Henning was out there, too, and had some problems. But Chuck Schutz was your winner. Wayne Pfeiffel was second. Corey Fleming, who generously gave away 6 bicycles to kids a couple weeks ago, finished third. Steve Nedorostek, who has been taking the late model class by storm, was fourth. Ron Klein, Danny Snyder, Jason Miller, Lou Egri, John Giesler, and Steve Totaro rounded out your top 10. And I have to mention this because I was teasing him about it. Just so everybody knows, there was one of the cautions that was caused in the late model feature was after Rick Totaro and someone else had gotten together, they had tangled. Rick spun, and Steve just wanted to join in on it, so his son had a pile in on the wreck too. So one of the things Steve texted me was, "Did you get that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got that." So, yeah, Steve, I have the pictures of you and your dad colliding with each other out there on the track. I made sure I put them up there on our page so you can check them out. And our other results for the night then were the Sportsman Modified feature. They did their 25 laps. They were the last one of the night. It was a pretty nasty feature. Let me put it to you this way. It wasn't normal what you've seen. We actually had a pretty bad wreck. 2 cars were basically destroyed in it. All I remember seeing was I turned around and I saw a car going up through the air. And, you know, that's pretty big deal going looking from turn 1 to turn 3 up there because I have all the track maintenance equipment and everything in my way, and I could see the car over top of everything. And you normally can't even see the cars there. But all drivers were okay. Unfortunately, those teams have a lot of work they're going to be doing to get their cars ready for this week, and we wish them all the best. But it was great to know everybody was okay after that wreck. But despite that, Bright Bill came home as your winner. Ryan Belts was second. Kyle Boerer third. Jared Umbenauer fourth. And guest of girls getting the facts, Katie McArdle, she came home in fifth place. Another solid run for this young lady. She's somebody we're definitely keeping our eye on up there because she is going to be in that victory lane very soon. The way she's running up there, she's got a really strong car, strong team, great family team going on. So make sure you keep an eye on her. Come on up and cheer her on. And then rounding out your top 10 were Paul Klein, Joe Funk, Rocco Infante, Dave Dissinger, and Brian Hertler. So those are your results. Now, we have something really big going on this week.
What's that?
There is $20,000 on the line this week for a NASCAR 358 sportsman who is a track regular who can win the Forrest Rogers Memorial. Okay. So if you are a track regular, you're there every week, you're running for points, the whole nine yards, you have a chance to win $20,000 if you win Saturday night. But if you are not a track regular and you're an invader, is what we call them here on the Dirt Track Series, like maybe say Billy Pouch, Danny Johnson, any of them decide they're going to come up and run, they're only going to win $10,000 because you're not a track regular. So the Grandview is showing its loyalty to its track regulars. So, and it's going to be really tough. I really don't know who to even say I'm going to see in Victory Lane this weekend because everybody's going to be putting out their best effort to try and win because this is a prestigious race for them. It's not the biggest race of the year. That's coming up in a couple weeks. But, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, don't rule out Mike Guler. Don't rule out Mike Leese either. You know, he's had a couple bad weeks, but he's due for a good week. And when he has a good week, he has a good week. So, you know, those are two of the people I'm keeping my eye on this weekend. You know, we've got Craig Van Dorn. We got Dwayne Howard, who is super strong up there. 8 or 9 victories already this year. You know, you have Ray Swinehart coming off a win. You've got Doug Mann Miller, who another solid season this year. They call him the handler up there. You got 6-time track champion Craig Van Dorn. You have Jeff Strunk. It's going to be a great race. And when some of these guys are going to be coming in to try and win that money, it's really going to mix it up, and there's going to be some great competition. So I'm hoping everybody takes some time this weekend to come on up to Grandview Speedway. Racing is scheduled to start for Green Flag for the heats at 7:30. Normally they start warm-ups about 6:45, 7 o'clock. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't wait till the last minute to get up there. You're going to want to get there early. First 1,000 fans are going to get rally towels from Pioneer Pole Buildings. And just make sure you get there this weekend. It's going to be a big race. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be the Pioneer Pole Buildings Forrest Rogers Memorial 50-lap feature for the 358 Modifieds. Again, $20,000 for a regular, $10,000 for a visitor. And the late models and sportsmen are also going to be racing this weekend. They've got giveaways and all kinds of stuff going on. So pack the family up and come on out. I'm not quite sure of the admission pricing. I'm going to say kids are probably going to be like $5 and adults are going to probably be 20 or 25. But don't quote me on that because I'm not real positive. I don't have that price. But you're going to want to get up there and come on out and have some fun. Oh, wait a minute. I am wrong. It's $25 for adults and $5. I found it. It was in a different section. So, but come on out and have some fun with us this Saturday night. I'll be there. I'm going to try and get there early, so I want to try and mill around a little bit out in the grandstand. So come find me. Come wave me down.
There you go. The Grandview Report with Tammy Alden. Well, what do you say we get to our interview of Sam Hornish Jr., Tam, so we can sit back and take a listen? Anybody having trouble on the picking us up on the Internet? I don't know. Maybe... Want to head to one. If you have trouble breaking up, it's either us or maybe they're having a problem with their internet service or the computer. Sometimes you have slow buffering speeds there and it kind of drags it out. So let us know. Hit us up on our Facebook page, or if you're registered to use the chat room, you can hit us up there. I actually have it up. I could so read it too. So anyway. This past Tuesday, I had a chance of getting Sam Hornish Jr. on the line. I was trying to get him for Monday night's show, but you know how things work with Cup guys. I was happy that he was able to join me on Tuesday. And he was able to shed some light on some of the things that he's looking forward to, and as well as running at the Brickyard and, of course, this past weekend, and pulling double duty at Pocono and in Iowa, and he did come in third in Iowa, but he was involved in the nationwide dash for cash, and being he led the other three eligible drivers across the finish line, he brought home the $100,000 bonus. So way to go, Sammy. So here's Sam Hornish with me. Hope you all enjoy. I'd like to welcome to Garage Talk Live, driver of the number 12 Nationwide Dodge and the 22 Sprint Cup Dodge for Penske Racing. And, Sam, I think you might be the only one to actually do this, compete at the Brickyard in three different divisions. Has anybody brought that to your attention yet?
There's a couple guys that have, but I'm the only one that's ran there in the IndyCar Series, the Nationwide Series, and the Cup Series. So, I've actually raced on the road course and the Porsche Cup Series as well. So, I've had, and I guess the Arrox Series. So, I've had a little bit of experience on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but when it comes to the track that basically got me into racing, I can't really get enough on it.
All right, we'll make it two five divisions now. But a lot of competition. You have won the Indianapolis 500 with Team Penske right before you made the jump to NASCAR, as well as bringing home the IndyCar Championship. For a while there, it looked like you had a full-time ride in the Sprint Cup Series, but I guess you're a consummate team player, and now you have the full-time ride in the Nationwide Series. And, matter of fact, due to unfortunate circumstances, you wound up running the Sprint Cup Series, now running two series all over again. I guess you can't complain about the seat time.
No, I can't, and, it's a good thing. I'm sure really blessed, and, thank God that I have the opportunities that I do, and it's amazing how things come along sometimes when you need them. I don't wish any ill will, and I feel bad for AJ for the things that have happened and kept him from being in that car, but it gave me a great opportunity to be back in the Sprint Cup Series. I've had a good year. I wouldn't say a great year on the Nationwide side. We've got a lot of top fives and, feel like a lot of top tens, and we're only 28 points on the lead for the championship. I feel like we're starting to turn a corner of things that we're getting better and giving ourselves more opportunities to win. So in doing that, I believe that we're going to continue to head the right direction, and hopefully before too much longer, we'll get ourselves that opportunity to be within 10 points and then hopefully take the lead. But it is a long, tough road to climb. We haven't really had any bad luck, knock on wood, that we'll continue to move forward. But I'm having a really good time with life right now. As far as my career goes, as far as my family goes as well. Now, my personal property side, that's a little bit on the other side. I actually got a call last night, and they told me that they found my truck had been stolen. So I've had. That's what life's about, though. It's ups and downs, and not every day is going to be the best day ever. So, I'm really thankful that it's a small problem. And, I had a great amount of success in the IndyCar Series, decided I wanted a new challenge in the stock car world, and it's been every bit of that. And while I've had to take some licks and, it's a little pie or whatever you want to call it, I feel that I've learned a tremendous amount, that it's a big part of my life, and it's did a lot of things to help me become to be a better person. So in all of that, you guys, I feel like you have to be thankful for the things that you get. So I'm happy that we're back kind of on the right track as far as my career path goes, and everything else will fall in line.
Well, that's good to hear. And sorry to hear about you losing your truck, but that's what they have insurance for. And was it a Dodge, by the way, or?
unfortunately, it was the one that I had before I was driving for Dodge.
Okay.
But, they wouldn't be happy with me. Maybe they took it. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But the Dodge people have been really, really good to us, and we'll definitely miss them at the end of the season when Penske and Dodge part ways. But I feel like, that was one of the things that was really cool about going to the Brickyard this past weekend. The guys at Penske Racing built Brad and I two brand new cars for the Nationwide Series. Found us a little bit more power, and we were able to go out there and get a 1-2 finish in the inaugural Brickyard for Indiana 250, the first Nationwide race at the Speedway. So I feel like we've got a lot of really good people behind us at Penske Racing, and hope that they know how much that they're appreciated. But even though we had a great amount of success and I did finish second, it was to my teammate. Sometimes it is a little bit bittersweet because you want to be your teammate. You know, you want to win when you have that opportunity. But I think that, it's better to, obviously it's better to finish second to your teammate than it is to beat them and finish 10th and 11th. So we'll take it as it comes.
Well, that being said, there was, I guess, the first stock car Indy win for Roger. I'm sure, you would have much rather had it been the other way around. Is there anything you figured you could have done different to maybe turn the tables and wind up ahead of Brad for the run to the finish?
I definitely couldn't have done anything different and still been a good teammate, I'll tell you that. Brad was bad fast. You know, he did everything that he could do. He took four tires at the end. We took two tires. And there was nothing I could do, but I think we had both strategies covered between Penske Racing, and he reminded me that he finished second to me at the Nationwide race in Phoenix last year, so he said that we're even now.
I think Phoenix doesn't have the same prestige that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway does. How did you like it when you saw that Nationwide was going to go there for this year for the first time?
I was really excited that they were. And I know that Phoenix doesn't have quite the prestige, but for me, a lot of firsts may have happened at Phoenix. I ran my first IndyCar, my first Nationwide race, my first Cup race, got my first Cup top 10 there, my first Nationwide win, and my first IndyCar win at Phoenix. So Phoenix was one of those places that I always feel good about going to. Wherever we go there, we feel like we've got an opportunity to win. Speedway, on the other hand, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has been a little bit more cool to me. I've got one win there and a fourth-place finish in the Indianapolis 500, and that's the only accolades that I'm willing to talk about as far as that goes. And then we got a second-place finish. And the Cup Series was particularly a little bit more difficult. We got a 16th place on Sunday. Not as good as what we wanted to be, but really, to tell you the truth, we had what we felt was like a top 10 car, and things just didn't work out to give us that opportunity to be able to get that top 10. So, it was one of those weekends where pit stops meant a lot. Where you restarted, we got stuck on the outside line for the last two restarts and just kind of lost the position. So I just, I'm happy it didn't end up any worse than what it did. And, 16th place isn't great, but to look, at what circumstances we were presented with for that weekend, we had, we didn't know who was going to drive the car until, Wednesday. So it was a little bit different.
Yeah, that kind of makes it a little tough to get things all ready. And you don't get as much practice time as, they used to. Back in the day when, I guess, everything was easy to do as far as, practice time and testing and all that, so it kind of makes it a little rough. Did the run in the Nationwide Series help you run the Cup car, or the car is that much different to where they went around the track there?
They go around the track a lot different. The Nationwide cars, I think we're, running 50 second laps, we were running 47 second laps, almost 3 seconds faster, which that's quite a bit at a track as big as what Indianapolis is. Like 3 seconds is quite a bit anywhere that you run, but I felt like we were, if we had a little bit more practice time, that we would have been better off. It took us most all practice just to get the car comfortable for me, and didn't really have a whole lot of time to really work on the setup that much. But, we leaned on our teammates for some information, some things that they felt helped them out through practice, made some good changes in between qualifying and the race. And we were able to actually, make our car a bit better. So all in all, I can't be too disappointed by it, even though, we want to be better than a 16th. We want to go out there and win, but we know that a lot of what racing is taking steps, and that's one of our steps that we have to take.
That's for sure. And, that's the whole thing about it, too, is, when you were talking about Phoenix, that was a flat track. Indy's kind of a flat track. This weekend you're going to be, well, you're going to be splitting duties going Iowa Saturday and Pocono on Sunday. Pocono's another flat track. How do you like going into Pocono, both 2.5 miles, you know, Pocono and Indy, but different configurations? Do you feel that Pocono would be something that you could take some of the knowledge from Indy as far as to maybe help you run towards the front?
Well, it's a bit different for sure, but Pocono in 2009 and 2010, I didn't finish worse than 11th there in any race that we ran. So I enjoy going back to Pocono. That was a different racetrack because it's been patience and a lot of the bumps have been taken out of it. I'm looking forward to going there. Didn't have an opportunity to race there earlier this year, but, you know, I get to their team, you know, and what they did in the race, that they found some things that will hopefully benefit us when it comes time to go to that race this weekend. It is going to be a little bit difficult going back and forth from Iowa to Pocono multiple times, but it's really a good thing for me to get more tee time. Hopefully, this is really the first test of, you know, having that opportunity to kind of go back and forth. You know, a lot of times you don't do that, but some drivers don't. You know, that doesn't bode well for them. So, if we can do this, and you know, it might open the room for me to get some more races in the Cup Series as the year goes on, the better that we can do with this. So I'm just hoping, and we're trying to do everything that we can as far as the setup side and the preparedness side of trying to give us the opportunity to have a good weekend and give me the opportunity to run some more races.
Do you find yourself more of a flat track type of guy or a bank track type of guy? Because you've had a lot of, you know, more success on the flatter tracks, to where it takes more, I guess, driving skill, and then the bank tracks, which probably take more, have to deal with more aero and downforce and that, or that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, to win a race on the Cup level, you gotta be a darn good driver, and you know, it doesn't matter if it's flat, bank, Daytona. You know, Daytona and Talladega are kind of wild cards because of the way that they work out with drafting and, you know, how popular you are to get, you know, pushes from people. But I feel like the flat tracks are definitely a little bit different feel. I've always liked flat racetracks. You know, Phoenix was another one that doesn't have very much banking. Had a lot of success there, Milwaukee, places like that. So I'm really just, you know, looking forward to having the opportunity to go. And I don't know why. It always seems like, you know, the flatter the track, generally the better I do, but Pocono is a mixture of not only a flat track, but it's what I call a compromised racetrack, and a lot of people call it that, and that's where you are going to get the car right in every corner. There's going to be corners that you're not going to get the car right, but you have to carry the car a little bit. Anytime that we can get ourselves that opportunity to go to tracks like that, I always feel good about it because I have, I don't know, grasp for that. You know, I like dealing with things like that. You know, Phoenix is another place that's like that. Miami, on the other hand, which is a high bank track that the ends are nearly identical, is one of the most difficult places that I run at.
And that's, you know, they only run, yeah, and plus you only run there once a year, so it's really hard to get a grasp on the track when you run it once a year. I guess having places you go to twice a year, you know, and then if you're running both Nationwide and Cup, if you're looking at 4 races a year, so you get more experience on those tracks there. But as far as Homestead, you know, you have to look forward.
That's
to
a tough one
race
too, because that's the last race of the year. So, you know, a lot of times when the championship comes down to it, you got a place that you only race that once a year. And they're totally different than anywhere else that we go. Any place else that has that kind of banking has a trial where Homestead doesn't. So it's kind of a league all its own, that's for sure.
Now you're going back to Bristol in a couple of weeks, and the track is going to be different from the first race to this race. How do you like Bristol? And you think the reconfiguration of that is going to play into, you know, with having to get new information?
Well, thank goodness. I didn't run very good in the spring, so I'm all for it. Thanks, Joe. It's just it's funny how things go. You know, everybody was said that there wasn't enough pass, and you had to bump guys out of your way, so they changed Bristol, and now it's two easy to run side by side. So, you know, not everybody's going to be happy no matter what you do. So I hope that we put on a good race for the fans, that they enjoy it. It's definitely still, I think, going to be two lanes wide, but it's going to add a new aspect of it, and we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to go back there. First time in the Nationwide Series under the lights at Bristol. Bristol was one of those tracks where I've not had very much success. Always seemed to be fast, but this not always seemed to be fast, but quite a bit of the time we've been fast. Just never really got the finishes that I feel like we've deserved at that track.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. That's a tough place for a lot of people, and I guess the pitch strategy is going to come into play because of the as fast as the laps click through and the way the pits are set up. You know, you come in the back stretch for yellow pits, and if you pit on the green, you come in. If you're pitting on the front row, you come in off a four.
No.
I mean,
that's one of the things that's never been bad for me, though. There's, you know, guys like Jeff Gordon that have been, you know, four times Grand Cup champs that's had issues with getting into the pits there and, you know, the wrong one at times. But for whatever, you know, he can win races there, but he has a little bit of trouble with that. Well, I've never had any issues with that. I've always felt really comfortable in knowing which end that we're on. So it's just, you know, sometimes you're just getting that flow and, you know, anybody can make a mistake. That just shows you that. But it is, you know, for a lot of people, very difficult to make the distinction of where exactly that they're at on the racetrack.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just amazing how we're – I think that's one of the things that people – the fans got upset about at Bristol is so many long green flag runs. You don't have a lot of cautions, and if somebody's got a car that's hooked up, you start lapping people, and you only wind up with six or seven cars on the lead lap. Now, with the lucky dog, of course, you can end the wave around. It kind of helped that out, so you have a chance to fight for it. But that's just one of those tracks that if you're in the groove, that's the place you want to be. And then you try to stay out of trouble when you start lapping cars that you wind up catching on the back end.
Yep.
But, Sam, I'd like to thank you for coming on with me. I've had a chance to interview you at Dover a couple years back, and you're always fun to talk to. You've done my show when I was on earlier in the day. I think it was your last season in IndyCar, so that year you won the 500 and the championships.
That was a good year, so we'll be doing good for the field here pretty soon. Maybe we'll have you to thank for it.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining me. Good luck this weekend at Iowa and Pocono, and we'll be watching, and have a safe run out there.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye now. There you have it, Sam Hornace Jr. That was a long one, Pam. 19 minutes.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I figured what the hell I had him and see what he thought. And he did have a good run out there in Iowa, of course, finishing third and taking home $100,000 never hurt anybody. And it's amazing, though. As a matter of fact, he only had to make 8 million picks last week. I went 1-for-3. I picked Sadler in the Iowa race, and he won. And I had Brad Kay for the Cup race, and he was off sequence on the pit strategy. So when he was leading there, I thought he might be able to hold the spot down when the rains came. But for some reason, it was Jimmy Johnson's day up until that last restart when him and Kenseth got together. But good day for the ladies in the Nationwide race, too. Danica, who everybody loves and hates, depending on who you are and where you can subscribe, came home 11th. Two spots later, in a car with not as much money, Johanna Long. Imagine if he had one of those two cars, the car that Michael McDowell drove, the 18, or Darrell Wallace Jr. Now, there's three up-and-coming kids that you're going to have to watch out for, too, but they were in two Joe Gibbs cars, and they finished in 6th and 7th. And they haven't made that many, Darrell Wallace Jr. hasn't made that many nationwide starts. He's made a couple, and he's done fairly well. Michael McDowell used to run for was Mikey Waltrip and was in the last year, so he's had some nationwide experience, but poor Johanna, man, that's like she's learning how to keep the, not to wreck the car. She's taking care of the equipment, and she's having some good runs, and see her finish 13th.
She
qualified. Danica, too.
Johanna deserves more airtime than what Danica gets, you know. She may not be a GoDaddy girl, but she has morals, she has values, and if I would rather have my kids looking up to her than to Danica, you know. She's very humble, she's very thankful and appreciative for everything that she has, and, you know, to me that just shows more class than go see the unrated version at GoDaddy.com.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing I like about Johanna, and as a matter of fact, Wayne was talking about it last week, and it's not so much the press. The press is one thing. I mean, she needs the sponsors. I mean, look what this girl does with that team.
I think somebody needs to step up and give her the same advantage as Danica does, because you know what? Danica's going to fall from the spotlight. I hate to say it, but I'm going to be flat out honest. Johanna has a lot of talent. She has a lot of patience in that car as well, which is what's helping her. You know, and she's listened to everybody who's helped her along the way. And those are some of the key factors. She's not coming in here thinking she's great, she can do it, she's the best one out there. She's coming out there going, I'm a racer, and I'm going to do my best every time I get in that race car.
I'd like to see her in one of the Gibbs cars, or, you know, I think put her in the 88 car and let her be teammates with Danica, because I think she can outdrive Cole Witt. I don't care what it is. I haven't been too impressed with him. I know a lot of our NBS buddies there talk about him over Danica, but put Johanna in the 88 and let her run equal equipment.
Well, not only that, here's another thing I was thinking about too. You know, I'm thinking about the standpoint of Danica's going to Tony's team next year for Cup Series.
Right.
Everybody keeps rumoring about, well, what's going to happen to Newman, what's going to happen to Newman. I'm sorry. I'm a Tony fan. Everybody knows I'm a huge Tony Stewart fan. I will support him in anything he does except for this move. Reason being, I feel bad for Newman. Because even if Newman has a good day, it's always going to be about where Danica finished.
Yeah, I noticed that she was the only person that they interviewed, because I guess they had a lot of time to kill at the end of the nationwide race, out of the top 10 that they interviewed. And the one who surprised me in that nationwide race, I mean, of course, he had problems with the car later on, was Kurt Busch. There was named as a possible replacement for Newman should Newman left, but Newman's staying. So that change won't be happening anyway. But even in the Cup race, Kurt Busch was running well in the Phoenix Racing car, the Jimmy Finch car, until he wadded it up. But you can't. You know, he blew a tire. Blew a right rear one into the wall. You know, something on the track, and you can't help it. But it's not like he wrecked it on his own with no help. But, you know, it's just the fact that Danica gets a lot of airtime. She's a GoDaddy girl, and
And there's more racers out there. There's 42 other drivers out there on that track that deserve equal airtime.
Oh, that's for sure. But I just, you know,
I don't
like
even think they give Austin and Ty the same amount of time as they do her.
No, and Ty's pretty good too. I'm pretty impressed with what she's done, considering he's a younger brother and a rookie as well. I think, you know, the way he ran at Indy, finishing third last week in the Nationwide Series, and you know, he acquitted himself pretty good. So, but Austin's probably going to stay in the Nationwide this year and next year. At least Richard Childress is going to groom them along instead of rushing them up to the Cup Series. But, you know, it's just one of those deals. Truck race must have been something. Did you get to see much of that on Saturday? I know Joey Coulter took home his first win.
I didn't actually. I was driving home getting wet.
That was the early race. I thought you'd have left during the ARCA race.
No, with 2.5 hours to get out of there, I left there right around 2, which put me back in the area at 4:30, and I'd be at Grandview by 5. So, yeah, I was cutting it a little close. Just a little close.
Well, Joey Coulter held off James Buescher. I think Nelson Piquet Jr. had a decent car. He led a few laps early. He led 33 laps. Coulter led once for 7 laps, but they were the right 7 laps. It was the end of the race. So it was good for Joey Coulter and the RCR crowd. We didn't get another win. For some reason, I think Harvick won the Truck Series race up there the first time, and then Sadler won the first one, Harvick won the second one, and Joey Coulter now won the third one. So that's 2 RCR wins in the Truck Series race at Pocono in 3 tries. So.
Well, and technically, if I remember correctly, Elliott was driving for Kevin Harvick. There he won. So you can kind of you could kind of all group them all together.
That's right. He was driving for Harvick. And then when Harvick won, and he drove for himself. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same principle, the same guys working together.
Yeah, I picked Hornaday, and he didn't do so well. He went up 19th. Of course, I guess everybody's big gripe of the night was Todd Bodine coming down on PK Jr. and wrecking himself. And anybody wants to comment on that, we'll have Paulie Haraka on, who crashed out. He wound up with 24th. He started 7th. 38 laps. You know, he made it. It was 12 laps from the finish, and then not too long before Todd Bodine wound up Todd Bodine went out first. He was 33 laps in, so he just came down on a driver and then started saying that he's racing with idiots and not taking the blame for coming down on a guy who's said he was making the move with the draft of the car, the truck in front of him, and that PK Jr. thought he was going to move down with him. I don't even think PK knew he was there or wasn't clear because he caught the back end of the truck. It wasn't like they were door handle when he did it. So I think somebody spotter didn't tell the Onion he was clear when he came down. He wound up wrecking his truck and blaming everybody else. Of course, watching the NBS blog, everybody was hammering the Onion, so it's not too bad. Even Mike Kalinoff, who spots for Kenseth, I think, in a Cup Series and Stenhouse in a Nationwide Series, said that Todd might want to be might want to check the replay before he opens his mouth, or maybe he whacked himself too hard with a 9-iron in his golf tournament.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we've had Todd on the show the year he won the Truck Series Championship. Go figure. And I've had him on before. One day you caught him, he was upbeat, and the next time you caught him, he wasn't so upbeat. So I don't know. It's just one of those deals that depends on when you get him or when you don't get him. Of course, Jeff Gordon breaks the string. Dale Jr. having a great day in the Cup race at the Pocono yesterday. Broke the transmission. I saw the in-car. You hear him shifting. He's going, from third, and then he goes to fourth, and then it's like, and it goes back down to third. after that rev up, you know, how you rev the engine revs and then you shift. Well, he went from revving up in third to shift to fourth, and then there was nothing. Then he went back down to third, and there was nothing there either.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame, but the track was going to give away $100,000 if he won yesterday. But since he didn't win, they are picking five random people, and they're going to be getting some special passes for one of the races next year. So if you did register to win $100,000, keep an eye out. I don't know how they're going to notify you, but Brandon said he's going to be picking out five lucky winners, so some people are going to have some fun anyway.
Well, that's good. It, you know, makes it fun, and the people go to the track there. Outside of the weather, you can tell they were racing for a shortened race. You know what, though, Tam?
What?
If that race was still 500 miles, they'd have been finishing it today. Because 98 laps wasn't an official race at that point last year.
That's true. Honestly, I don't know. I think personally I would have rather seen them wait till today with the weather. It was nicer. But, you know, NASCAR had to make the call. They had to give it a shot. Knew the bad weather was coming. I don't know. I don't know how I stand on that. I'm kind of...
Well, they always go to try to get it in on the day of the event. And, you know, people pay the money. They schedule their vacations and stuff like that. So they want them to have every opportunity to see an official race.
They do, well, and I can understand that.
We used to cover Dover. We covered Dover in a few years back.
It was a Monday.
It was a Monday. Were you there? No.
Yeah.
Was I there? You were there on a Monday?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, you didn't tell me that because I had to go home.
I came back that one day.
I was off that day.
I remember that year because of the rain and being running around in the rain, I ended up with pneumonia. So, yeah, I remember that year.
And that's your Truex one. But I had to come back. I had to edit all the audio. And the only audio I didn't have was the winner's press conference because it was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to go to the station. Had to get, you know, work there tonight, that night. It was Monday night till midnight. 11, depending on whether the 11 o'clock show was live or not. And otherwise, that was the year Catherine Bell was the Grand Marshal for the series premiere of Army Wives, and that got rained out, and it got pushed till Monday. And Truex got his first win, though, that race. And I think his only win. Has he won a couple races since then?
Not sure.
Well, I know we're going to have Paulie Haraka calling us up, so he can give us a on-the-track synopsis of what happened. He was running real good, running in the top 10, and so he wound up hitting the wall, and maybe he could tell us a little bit about that and find out what happened. So he should be joining us in about 10 minutes. Casey Kane wound up coming home in second yesterday.
Can I tell you, Casey Kane was probably breathing a sigh of relief when he saw that rain come down.
Oh, yeah, I saw that tire.
He had a flat tire, and if they would have gone back to green flag racing right before they would have gone green, he would have had to dive down and given up all that track position. And you know who else is probably breathing a sigh of relief right now?
Brad Keselowski.
No, Dale Jr., because he still got that point sleep because of that wreck there. If not, before that wreck, he was dropped back to fourth in points. But because of that wreck that caused the yellow that went to red, he took back the point sleep.
Yeah, that's true. But even if they went back to green, I don't think Kenseth would have made it back out there because he was banged up pretty good. So he would have wound up in the garage, and I think Jr. still would have had the point sleep. Or... let's see, who was behind him that's pretty close? Biffle might have got it. Where'd Biffle finish? Where'd the Biff come in? He was a little upset that he had to start behind Jimmy Johnson. Biffle wound up 15th on the realignment prior to the call into the race. Or, you know, had they gone back green, who knows? Jimmy Johnson might have been your points leader as well because he was kicking tail on that one. And even though he got sideways whacking Kenseth out of the way, he was still running good, so it might have been him. Brad Keselowski, he got lucky because he would have had to dive into the pits as well because he was about to run out of gas. Because they figured they can go to 102 laps, but they called it at lap 98, so he had about six laps left in his tank, and he would have lost all that track position coming in the pit, unless they all would have came in at that point, and then knowing full well that they were going to go the other 62 laps if they would have been able to get it in, but we all know they didn't, so.
I think that everybody knew that going into yesterday. I think they knew they weren't going to go the whole race, and I think they were planning on just a race to halfway.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's what you got to do sometime. And, you know, you have your strategy for a whole race for 400 miles, but sometimes you got to chop it a little short. It's rare, though. So it's just amazing the quickness of the crew chief having to make that call to either stay out or come in, you know. And if you call to stay out, then you're going to go back to green, it screws you up. But like I think Jeff Gordon said during the post-race interviews, you know, they've dominated races and have come up empty. So sometimes you get one like this, it falls your way. It helps your confidence and, you know, things balance out a bit. Now, he needed that win to get close to the chase because he's in one of the fight for one of the wild card spots. Of course, they're showing my chart showing Edwards up in the 12th spot, but Gordon with the win, I think, took it over. So it's Kane and Gordon, the final two for the wild card of the chase. But Dale Jr. So it's Dale Jr., Kenseth, Biffle Johnson, Truex in fifth, Smokes in sixth, Brad Kay in seventh, Denny Hamlin eighth, Harvick ninth, and Clint Bowyer tenth. But if they when they reset the seating, it's going to be Johnson, Stewart, and Keselowski even in points going into the chase because they both have the three wins.
I think it's going to be an interesting chase. You know, I don't know. Hendrick said they're going to get all four cars in there, and right now it looks possible. I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, they definitely have two in, so it's going to see how Gordon and Kane wind up the rest of the year if they can get all four in. So, you know, it's just one of those things that's why they run 26 races to the chase, and that'll all be decided in Richmond, September the 8th. Hey, guess what I did? Or guess what the wifey did, Tam? She got us tickets to Bristol, so I'm going to go sit in the stands at the Irwin Tools night race at the reconfigured Bristol.
Nice.
Hey, at least I don't need a hotel. It's only about 90 miles away, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Those tracks are tough to get a credential for anyway, from what I can, you know, all the Bruton Smith tracks, the Speedway Motorsports tracks. We have better luck at the International Speedway Corp, you know, the ISC tracks that the France family owns.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it just, I don't know. It is what it is, and tracks make their own reasons and rulings, but, you know, I can't always figure out what's on the minds of them, but, you know, it is what it is, and I always look at it this way. If you want the coverage and you want to be able to promote yourself and grow, you're going to want the media there, and if not, well, then you're not going to have them there.
That's what surprised me about Charlotte. I tried to go there because I knew the PR director there. He used to work for Chip Williams, handled the petties and, you know, and that was the Adrian Parker, so he's got the top job down there now. But they have their criteria, and he said he had to turn down a lot of them just because all the applications. I figured I had an in, you know.
Yeah.
But you had to go on. But Speedway Motorsports has the online application where you apply to all the tracks. Then the tracks tell you you're approved, and then you have to submit your application again. But at that time, I did it with NJC. So they limited the amount of radio stations. I guess if you were local or satellite, you know, I think it was XM at the time and Sirius. Sirius always got in because, you know, Claire's worked for both. And when I went to Sirius, she was still there. And then when they merged, it made it easier for her.
Like I said, it is what it is. And, you know, it just, I don't know. Some of the tracks have certain criteria that they're judging what an actual media outlet is by. But when you ask some of the ones that are the ones grouping those media outlets, that's no longer a standard. So it's kind of confusing. But
right.
It is what it is. And you know what? If you don't want the coverage, you know, so be it.
Well, we will be represented at Richmond. Gil Smith will be attending that one for us. Matter of fact, I put in his request today. The deadline was the weekend. I got the reply back from Amy because there I just got to email what I want.
Yeah.
And I put in for it. She goes, no problem. She goes, when are you going to come see me? I said, so, yeah, I told her that. I said, you know, the move didn't go as smooth as planned, and I got to hammer some things out. So hopefully spring of next year I'll make the trek across the state. And
tell her I'll come down too next year.
Come see Richmond. I've seen it from the stands. That's a nice track. So say what you want about Dover. Dover's a nice track too, but the coziness of a three-quarter miler like that, and you can pretty much see all the way around from where I sat. I sat on the, I guess it was going into turn three, right off the back straightaway, and we went down there. The wife and I had, don't know if we were married yet or still dating or engaged, but we went down there without a ticket and bought a couple off people selling them that were from New Jersey. They had four, and they were selling the two extras because their friends couldn't down, so we wound up sitting next to them. So we got lucky. Because that would have been a trip down from Jersey for nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But so we're going to do the fan thing at Bristol.
Cool.
That ought to be interesting. I haven't attended a race like that since.
Well, I can tell you when you go down, it should be set up yet. Make sure you go outside. I know Shelly, the shelter dog, and her gang's going to be down there. They should still be there Saturday, too. So make sure you check them out and go support Shelly.
Well, we're not going down for the whole week, the whole thing. We're just going down for the cup race. So.
Yeah, but they should still be out in the fan zone and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'll have to get in contact with Shelly and Tracy and see if they're going to be both down there and meet up with them before I go sit in there and watch the race on the newly reconfigured Bristol Speedway, Motor Speedway. Well, I think our guest, you might want to check the queue window.
I got nothing yet.
Nothing yet, huh? Well, that's all right. It was going to be around this time. It might be a little early. So we've gone through pretty much the whole cup race. We've touched on the truck race and the nationwide race. This week, road racing for everybody.
That's right. They're going to be heading up to Watkins Glen, New York. I believe there was a ton of cars entered this weekend nationwide with lots of ringers. So, it's going to be an interesting weekend this weekend up in New York. But I like the road races. I think it's a cool thing to be able to go and watch. It makes you have a little bit of a challenge when you're out there competing. Everybody always says, oh, what's racing? You're just going around turning, you know, circles. It's like, well, no, you got road racing out there. It's more than just turning, going around in circles and making left-hand turns. It takes a lot of skill. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the road racing this weekend.
Yeah. I think it looks better on TV than it does at the track. Cause you're only relegated. Like, I haven't been to the Glen or Infineon for that matter, but I know they redid Infineon to where the track is set below the seating level. Like, they're in a pit and the seats are all up around it. So you can actually see the cars, maybe not real good, but you can see them going down the track and around the turns. But I don't know how the Glen is set up as far as seating goes. I know I had friends that used to go up there all the time. So, but at least on TV, there's cameras at pretty much down every stretch of the track, so you can see them coming and going. So I would think it'd be outside of the tailgate experience, which is good at every track. The actual watching of the race might be different between TV and being there, like Pocono. It's better to watch the race there than it is on TV sometimes because of the, you know, the track feel.
Maybe.
Maybe. That depends on where at the track you're at.
I guess. I don't know. I guess that's part of the reason why our sport's hurting as much as it is for fan attendance, when you can watch every last angle on DirecTV, Comcast cable, whatever it is. Your Sprint phone, your computer, the whole nine yards. It's kind of like, well, why go farther away from your fridge than you need to?
Well, usually you got the cooler sitting between your legs anyway, so it's probably closer than your fridge.
You know what I mean, though. I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, I know. But that's the whole experience of the weekend. And we did know the fact for the second time now that Iowa Speedway sold out for the nationwide race. So that's pretty good. Good to see him get a nice crowd out there in the middle of the cornfields. And that's Rusty Wallace's track, I believe. So he apparently has a nice facility there, and they have a good fan base in that area to where he could draw from a few different areas, and they sell the place out. Of course, I'm assuming the seating isn't as big as like a Bristol, by the 160,000 seats, or Dover, which is 150,000 seats, or Pocono, which is a good bit. Might be a 75,000 to 80,000 seater, and filling that up isn't as, you don't have all that empty space around, so, which is a pretty good thing. So,
still looks like we're in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was hoping I know Paulie had to take care of some stuff, so they said at 9 o'clock. I told him 9 o'clock. He might be a little later, depending on. So he knows to call in, and I resent the phone number just to be sure. And so we're on for a bit anyway. So anyway, let's take some calls. Number 646-649-1899. For anybody out there that's listening to us tonight, you want to give us your feedback on either the Iowa race in the Nationwide Series. If you want to trash Danica, you can, or not trash her, praise her, or whatever. The cup race yesterday at Pocono, the truck race Saturday at Pocono, and the ARCA race Saturday at Pocono. I did catch some of that, and it was just like one whole day of racing. I went from the truck race to the ARCA race to the Nationwide race, and after that was NHRA qualifying. And then Sunday, I went right from the Pennsylvania 400 to final eliminations out at Seattle to see how that's shaping up. You know, they only have a couple more races before their chase starts. The countdown to one, which is not 10 races, it's only 6.
Vince?
Yeah?
It's Cindy. Hey.
Hey, Cindy, you're back?
I'm back. I had a few things to take care of. I'm back. One thing that I have to say about Pocono race. One
okay.
thing. Oh!
We know what that means.
What's
you
that
know,
mean?
He won. Oh! So for my pick for next week, you know, I'm going with the rain. I'm going to go with the rain, you know?
That's
I mean... I don't know what our chances would have been without it, you know, but I'm going to take a win however I can take a win. Unfortunately. Go ahead.
I think his would have been pretty good without it. He was he was running pretty good all day long, and the question would have been how much damage did Jimmy Johnson have after that wreck? Of course, he didn't look too badly damaged when he got into it with Kenseth before on that last restart before they wound up yellow again, but Kenseth got the worst of that. But it all depends on that.
I'm thankful for it. You know, it locked us in the wild card, you know, with the wild card. So, you know, that's always a good thing. I'm torn, actually, between his win, though. I really am torn.
Why?
Because of, technically, it's a win.
Yeah.
But technically, is it a win?
Yeah. It's a win. He took the checkered flag. He gets the trophy. He gets the money. He gets the points.
Well, technically, there was no checkered flag ever waved. Let me just clarify that. They just called it a race. Because I wouldn't have wanted to go on that flag stand to wave that checkered flag.
Well, that being said, I'm sure they might have presented it to him in the garage area.
Right, but did he get to do a burnout? No. I mean, you know, running in circles.
He got to run through the raindrop. That was his victory celebration. Run from the rain.
Well, right, exactly.
And here's the thing, too, Cindy. What about the races he's done well at and got robbed of a win?
If he got robbed of a win, he got robbed of a win. And believe me, you know, I mean, I'm all for Jeff. But I don't know if I'm for a rain win. I mean, I've always had a little bit of an issue with that. You know, I'm going to take the win. You know, first of all, it boosts me in my fantasy NASCAR because I have Casey Kane and Jeff Gordon right there, first and second. They're my picks. Woo-hoo! You know, but second of all, I would rather win a win. I would rather take that checker flag. Run the whole race, you know, and I had this same confliction when Joey Logano won with that rain delay, with the rain, you know, calling it because of the rain, the red flag. We'll take the win, but is it really a win? In our hearts, is it a win?
Didn't Mikey Waltrip win a rain-shortened Daytona 500, and is it a win? Well, they didn't run the scheduled distance, but
it's still a win. Yeah.
The rules are the rules, yeah. So as long as it's official, a race is a race.
It's official, you know. And I'm very thankful for the win. He needed the win. He needed it. But my question is, I wonder if the drivers almost feel the same way. I mean, do they have the satisfaction of a win when it's a red flag win? That crosses my mind.
Well,
do they feel that they've accomplished? Exactly. Right?
The only way to find out is when we're at a press conference, Tammy, or you're there at Dover, and Jeff Gordon's in there in the press conference, ask him that question.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a logical question. Do they still have the same satisfaction? Is a checkered flag, a red flag to a checkered flag? What are they going to hang that red flag up on the wall? I mean, I want to know, you know, what their thoughts of it are. So, you know, we'll have to ask, I'm going to start asking around, make a few phone calls, and see how that goes.
I finally got daring enough to do some asking, so I'll ask that. I got over my asking issue this weekend and talked to Tony Stewart, so I'm good.
Yeah, so I heard.
Hmm?
I heard. Yeah. No, we're very proud of you, Tammy.
I did it.
Very proud. You did do it.
Face-to-face,
you know, I'm not sure how you were gonna.
I'm good.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But I am a. And then another thing I'm torn at is the tragic events, you know, that happened through there. It almost seems like it just robs the whole race.
It does.
Which I think it should.
From the whole weekend. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I don't know what could have been done to prevent it. Honestly, I mean, a storm is a storm. They come up
right.
out of nowhere. And even if you're parked the farthest away, you'd have to have called the race a half an hour basically before the storm would get there to have a chance to get to your car.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And,
but,
and those grandstands are made of metal.
Yeah.
Yep, they are.
So,
concrete and metal.
Who knows, you know, did it hit the ground? Did it hit part of the grandstand? Did it even hit anybody, or just that they were in the nearest vicinity and, you know, doesn't have to actually strike you to hurt you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it can travel around enough through the ground and actually zap you that way. You know, it's not something to mess around with. When they tell you there's a storm coming, go indoors, they're telling you that for a reason.
Where at Pocono can you go indoors?
Well, I mean, they're telling you to go to your cars and stuff like that. When they tell you to do it and you see it's coming, I know we all love our sport and we want to see all the action and everything like that, but do what the track's telling you to do. They're telling you to do it for your safety. You know, I'm with everybody else. I wish maybe the red flag would have come out a little sooner, knowing it was there and it was coming and it was unavoidable and knowing the reports that were coming towards us. But at the same time, NASCAR was doing their best to try and get that race in to give the fans what they paid for. So no matter what you do, it's one of those, you know, damned if you do, damned if you called it and red flagged it and it blew over us and we never got it, they would have looked like idiots. You know, so it's a tough call. And I don't want to be the one that would have to make those kind of calls, honestly, because that's hard to try and decide what's the best to do.
Hello?
Tammy?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, well, it sounds like I lost you.
I was wondering,
same,
anybody,
huh?
Anybody in the queue?
Let me see. I don't know why we can't hear Tammy.
I don't know.
No, nobody's in queue.
I just sent an email to the PR girl. Hopefully she gets it. For Pauly Haraka, usually I'd send her a text, but I'm using my phone to talk to y'all on the air. I don't have one of them iPhone things that let you do that, but hopefully we can get
a call?
A call or something back. Anyway, well, we'll just keep going. How's your battery? Are we good till 10?
I guess we'll survive for a little bit and maybe want to do some picks.
Okay, we could do some Glenn picks. All right, I know where Cindy's going. We'll only pick the Sprint Cup Series this time. Anybody out there who wants to make a pick or give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. We're picking for Watkins Glen. Lefties and righties, sir.
I'm going with 24 in both.
In both what?
Cup and Nationwide.
Whoa. Why? Jeff don't run Nationwide.
Well, I know. But I think I'm going with SR2 this weekend. The number 24.
Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of Nationwide, what happened to our pal this week? Poor TJ.
Well, you know, once again, you know, he's just been plagued.
Those
guys
need
to
go away.
Yeah, you know, just a lot of issues with the car. It's just, you know, we've mentioned it time and time again. And, you know, it's a struggling team. And in order to bring the car to where it needs to be, you know, there's a lot of overhauling that needs to be done. And it's becoming more and more difficult.
Yeah. I mean, that must have fried some wires this time because 20 laps in electrical problems.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Spike has brought all his friends in that car, and there's just too many of them we have to get rid of at this point. So we need to, you know, try to figure out a way to chase them all away.
The electrical is not an easy fix either. I mean, if it's a piston, it's one thing. A valve spring, it's another. You start talking electrical. I don't even want to go there. That's one
thing. Right.
I mean, but even back when cars, Tammy might not remember this. She's a little younger. But, maybe you too.
Hey, wait a minute.
Maybe you too, Cindy. You're a bit younger too. Back in the old days when cars didn't have computers and electronic digital boxes, and it was just
I remember those days.
Plug wires and a couple of electrical wires. Even then, I didn't mess with the electrical.
Hey, my Chevy Laguna didn't have all that fancy stuff.
Who you was? That's an old car, probably early 70s, 73, Laguna.
I don't even remember. I just know it was old and it's brown and it got you around. And it was big. It had the big 8-cylinder. And my biggest fear was getting stuck in the mud when I drove, when I would go to learn how to drive. And the first time I drove it, I got stuck in the mud.
Then chances are it probably was a car from the 70s if it had a V8 in it.
Yes, it did.
So, you know, that's what stinks. The only cars these days you can get with V8s in them are trucks, which don't count as cars, or Mustangs, the Camaros, and the Challengers. And the, and the Chargers, too.
And we have the Bel Air still in the family, too, the 56 or 57. It's the rare.
That's something you keep in the garage and take out for shows anymore.
For shows.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, I mean, I would love to be able to drive, you know, the 57 Chevy around and just say, hey, what's going on? But, you know, every mile that you put on that, you're just like, oh, let's just park it. Let's put it right back where it belongs. You know, because those are the classics. Those are the cars that we need to, you know, preserve.
Yeah.
And you know that, you know, we can get some nice little SUV 4-cylinders now.
Oh, that's junk. Oh, that's a disgrace.
I know.
I'm going to tell you, a Toyota RAV4, a brand new Toyota RAV4, RAV4 means cylinder. Are you ready for the price of this?
Oh, I know. They're not
anywhere
cheap.
Anywhere from $18,000 to $22,000 for a 4-cylinder vehicle.
That's cheap.
4-cylinder. That's not cheap. For a 4-cylinder?
Oh, I thought you were going to say like $30,000.
No, you could probably go up, but still, it's a 4-cylinder vehicle. It looks like it has a whole lot of room inside. It has the capacity, you know, of the back of, the hatch type thing SUV. It has, you know, the three seats in back, but the passenger capacity is very small. You can sit in the middle and reach your hand side to side and touch the doors.
But you can pretty much do that.
$18,000 to $22,000?
That's cheaper than I thought it would be.
Well, maybe in Texas, that's, because maybe we're in Texas. Maybe in another state it would be more. But I just think that's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous for that price.
Tammy, you have to go to a Toyota dealer and see what a RAV4 goes for in Pennsylvania.
I'm not, no.
Yeah.
I'm a Jeep girl, sorry.
Yeah, we might have to just look online, you know.
I know what they were trying to sell me, a 4-banger, like the Escapes and all that kind of stuff, and I still made out better getting my Liberty, so I'm good. I got my 6-banger.
Got your 6-banger. Hey, if I didn't get my Dakota, I would have went for a Liberty.
For what I'd have to pay to try and make a 4-cylinder into a towing capability, it wasn't worth it. I might as well just pay the money and get the 6-cylinder and be done with it.
Right. You're right on that.
Yeah, but you call up a V8.
Mm,
or is your Cherokee a V8?
No, both of my Jeeps are 6-cylinders.
Wow.
The F58s for the Cherokees, not on my salary.
Exactly.
Not on my salary.
Yeah.
That would be more than a monthly mortgage payment.
Yeah, they are, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I think a Ford Focus, which is a 4-cylinder car, goes somewhere in the $15,000 to $20,000 range.
Oh, now, okay, here in Texas, they're 10 and 12.
Now, is this the bottom of the line script up one, or is this opted out with the sync system?
Don't know. That I don't know. I'm just really not sure about that. The only reason why I know about the Toyota RAV4, I was just kind of floored by it, is because I was looking at them. I looked at a used one that they wanted 10 to 12 for. Used.
Really?
It's like 60,000 miles. I was like,
Wow.
No. But, the Toyotas don't lose their value, is what they say.
Yeah, it's true. Well, then, wasn't there, I think there's a bunch of recalls on the new ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who are you picking, Vince? I know we're all...
Who am I picking? Hold on. I'm going to go with... I don't know. I think... I'll go with Marcus Ambrose.
Oh!
Ooh.
He took mine.
Really?
It's not fair.
You're going with Tony Stewart. It is a road race. He holds his own up there.
No, I'm his jinx. I'm officially his jinx now. So he can't win a race if I pick him or if he's there. So it's not working.
Well, Marcus Ambrose won this race last year, so it might not be good for him. But he usually does good there, and that was his breakthrough win in the Cup Series. So, Keselowski finished second there. Kyle Busch was third. Martin Truex Jr. was fourth.
Wow.
Logano was fifth. You going to go with who?
I'm going with Juan. I'm going to go with Kellogg's boy.
Juan? Really?
Juan.
He finished seventh.
He's going to be eating lots of Rice Krispie treats, Pop-Tarts, and vroom. So he's going to be ready to go and full of energy.
Yeah, he's going to get all ready to go and vroom right off the track. And let's go to something more interesting.
Just watch out for the jet dryer.
Yeah,
and
he'll go
to Tampa.
I don't know. I mean, do we have something more interesting in the race?
Let's let Danica go into the sand pit. Let's do that.
We'd have to stop the race so the car's fixed so she can get back out and track. Never mind.
Let's red flag it until Danica's back out there.
Yeah.
Sorry, potty break.
Well, she was running, I don't know if it was the Glen last year or... Well, Montreal, one of them she was running pretty good at until she got dumped into the weeds.
Whatever, she dumped herself.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. I think somebody got her. I don't know if it was the nationwide regulars. That's what we were talking earlier, Cindy. I don't know if you were still hanging on the
listening.
Line. Or
yeah, I was
other,
on.
Tending to other stuff about how Johanna wound up 13th in that race, and if she was driving good equipment, where she would have finished.
Yeah, did y'all see the post that... Oh, no, that was Jennifer Jo Cobb.
Yeah, poor Jennifer. It was a misunderstanding, but it's all fixed, and everything's unloaded now and all good.
Can someone explain that post to me, or explain the whole thing? I just ran across it, and I read it, and I said, huh?
The crew chief gave everybody the day off, forgetting they needed to unload the hauler today. But friends and fans came to the rescue, helped Jennifer unload the trucks and all the supplies and everything into the shop. And then the crew chief goes, yeah, I forgot, and let them all have off. So it was bad communication, but the trucks are unloaded. They're in the shop. Everything's off the hauler. Everything's good. Jennifer's back, and they'll be having a meeting about what you need to do when you come back from a race. So it's okay.
Yeah, okay. I just was, I was a little, huh?
Was this her just on Facebook now?
It was on today this afternoon. She's like, anybody in this area, here's the address. Can you come help me unload the hauler?
Well, I saw that part. I'm like, what happened there?
They had no crew to unload it.
Big miscommunication.
Well, her crew chief's been with her for several years, Steve's been... it's not like this is his first year in the gig. He's with her since she had her good run. A couple of years ago when she was in the truck, when she ran the truck series full time before she had that dance with the Nationwide series where nothing went right any which way.
But, she mentioned that in his post that he's very dedicated and blah, blah, blah. I don't remember. I haven't really been online a whole lot lately, but I just ran across it. And she says, you know, how dedicated he is. It was just, you know, just a miscommunication. And that's all I saw. I didn't see much more to it. So.
No, all I saw was a miner. She needed help unloading the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody came to her rescue.
So that's good. Maybe he thought it was a Friday night or something.
Well, I guess it looks like we're going to have to try and reschedule Pauly.
We'll
get him rescheduled.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, we're looking forward to it, but, you know, we can always get him again.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, I'm looking to get a hold of the young lady who won her first funny car event last night in her 15th try. So we're trying to get our pal Courtney Force back on. Cindy, that's who your daughter ought to like now, Courtney.
Yeah, you know, in matter of fact, we were talking about that today. We were talking about, you know, John Force and Courtney Force, and I was telling her, you know, about that. She said, well, when are they going to be back on? Okay. That's all I could say was okay.
I tried to get her on, and as soon as the race was over yesterday, I put out the word, so I'll be in touch with her peeps. John Force Racing's pretty good about coming on with us, so it's not a big deal. Right, Tam?
That's right. They're good.
Right. Yeah, we got to get... Go ahead. Hello?
Vince, can anyone hear anyone?
I hear you.
I think we were ready to wrap up. I think we're about out of battery power, or I'm not online, so I can't see the time. But I
got 9:30.
9:30.
I think that she's not running on battery. She's at home. The last time she had no power.
Yeah,
that
I'm not sure.
That was a freaky interview. That a freaky show that night. I had Candace Mousney on, and she could run the board, but she couldn't be on because she didn't have enough juice. She said, wow, because she was running off battery.
Are you there, Tammy?
Yeah, I'm here. I just keep getting cracklies.
You getting bad weather out there?
Nah, I don't know if it's the signal or what. I just get cracklies. So I kind of lose you half and half.
Well, as long as we broadcast, fine. I guess I'll have to let everybody that had a trouble hearing us tonight. I guess when you put the podcast up, we'll have to go find out that way.
Yep, I always listen to it. The podcast and everything come out pretty clear, so if you have trouble listening to us live, the podcasts are always good.
Yeah, we used to do the podcast back in the day, and I think we had more listeners on podcast than picking up the stream off of NJC. At least with the podcast, you can pick it up at any time. It's always there.
Yeah,
just go to blogtalkradio.com and click on the show. So I'll work on Courtney for next week so you can tell your daughter see if we can get Pauly back. I guess we made our picks. Anybody else there want to chime in? The number is 646-649-1899. Make your pick for this weekend up at the Glen or go to our Facebook page and post it there. And I guess might as well go sign off.
Yeah, I mean, just a reminder, everybody, I'll be out and about tomorrow night. You can come meet me at the Reading Fair tomorrow night. It's off of 183. So come on out and join me. I'll be there starting at 7 o'clock. There'll be some racing going on. There's a fair. It's going to be lots of fun. I mean, it's not as big as what Reading Fairgrounds used to be, but you're still going to have racing and a fair going on and a carnival. So come on out and join me there. And join me Saturday night. And don't forget to join us Thursday night for Girls Getting the Facts.
And who do the girls have on lined up? Or is it a big surprise until showtime?
Big surprise until showtime, it always is. You never know who's going to come on and talk with us.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes we don't even know until 5 minutes beforehand. We just get a call going, hey, we want to give you the exclusive.
Hey, we're ready.
Okay.
We're ready. Yeah, we've done that. You know, a few exclusives call in and say, hey, we want to talk to y'all. And then, you know, sometimes we have our trustees that just give us, you know, inside scoop and we go from there. But it always seems to be a very fun and entertaining show.
That's right.
Every Thursday, 8 to 9.
Yes, sir.
8 to 10. If we could go longer, some weeks I think we might.
8 to 1. 8 to whenever, just like Mondays.
Yeah, it's 8 to whatever.
Yeah. Hey, you know, yeah. I was really trying to get an interview with for tonight, but I never heard back from his peeps, Kurt Busch.
Oh, well, you know, you're going to have a hard time getting back from his peeps.
Well, you know who handles his, you know who handles his PR people are? Same people that handle Stewart, True Speed, Mike Arning's crew.
Oh.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go, but we're small potatoes, so, you know.
And actually, I just got a response from somebody that I know. They went over and helped Jennifer unload, so it's all good. Everything's
good.
Yep, I know some people now that went over there and helped her. It's all good, and looks like she's got some good leads and some new pick crew members now.
No, hey, that's good.
Call your friend, have her call me or text me or get a hold of me. I want to have, she hasn't been on the show in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's true. We need to catch up with her.
And you know what? I wonder if she's still handled by, I think she's a Breaking Limits, Brooks Versace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when she used to come on the show, that's when she had her good, decent year in a truck series. She finished 17th in owner points, was qualified for every race the next year. And what did she do? She threw that all away for the Nationwide Series for a team that basically wanted, screwed things over for and really messed up her whole season.
Yeah, but that's another story. It's all, unfortunately, it's just part of the nature of the beast sometimes.
Yeah, but she had her thing there. She had her niche. She was locked in for a while, and that's all she had to do was basically go out there and run the truck series races. She probably would have had a better finish. But then she went from two different race teams. That's when she had that big incident. Remember the big incident where she pulled it in, got out of the car, so she wasn't going to start in parking
lot. That's right. Sometimes you just got to stand your ground.
Yeah. Boy, she got more fans from that moment than I think she, for standing her ground, than I think anything. So I'll try to get her back on. I'll have to get to my you know what happens is, I think my Garage Talk Live email, we'll have to reset that back to its original. I'm not getting stuff that I used to get anymore.
I had to recreate an account. They wouldn't let that one work anymore because of the problems that we had before. So that's why I sent you the info for the new account.
But I don't, nobody had it. I give it my Yahoo box. So, but see, I've got all those cards now that have the old account on there.
Yeah, well, it's not much different, so, and it's still a catch-all.
Yeah.
They'll just automatically get caught up, so it's okay. It'll still get through if they send it to that.
The old one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to go in and check that. Because, yeah, that screwed a lot of stuff up. So, well, girls, another fine show. We did get, at least we had Sam Hornish all set to go, and he was on, and like I said, I'll be working on Courtney for next Monday. I had the seeds out there. And I would definitely love to get her to call in tonight, but I guess from the West Coast out there, it's not like the East Coast races where she can call in. She must have something to do. Because Erica Enders, when she won her first race, we had her that Monday. And she won her second race. So the girls are starting to pick up the pace in the NHRA.
That's right. That's a good thing.
That's that. We have to get Cindy down to get us some nitro fumes.
I know, guys. But you know what? And I've been thinking about it, and I've been wanting to do it. I just got to figure out how it's going to happen. You know? Well, go get it, Dan. I'll get that feeling.
We'll get you credentialed, and you can cover the event.
Well, that sounds great. I could definitely do that. Y'all know I can interview.
That works.
That's for sure. Sounds good. Sounds good to me.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince with Tammy and Cindy. Tune in Thursday night at 8 o'clock for Girls Getting the Facts here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you all next Monday. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.